welcome in to another edition of Brewcast, a fun one, pre-draft edition of Brewcast. We've got a lot to get to with, you know, what guys are going in the draft this week from Michigan, reflecting on some careers, because it is a big weekend. Good to be back with you guys after missing last week. I was on vacation, couldn't find any time to get the pod in, but feels really good to be back. Back with you guys, introducing now and bringing in, as always, my co-hosts, Chris Castellani and Anthony Broom. Guys, how you guys doing?
We missed you a lot last week, because I went back and listened to that show. I am but a sidekick. This is a show where we will be discussing heroes and things like that, draft heroes, movie heroes, whatever. But I am no hero. I am a sidekick. I am an in the shadows guy. We needed you last week, and glad to have you back.
Hey, thank you guys. I appreciate that. It's good to be back. I love doing the show with you guys.
Oh, is it my turn?
Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm flustered.
I'm doing well, man. It's actually nice out for once. I got the windows open in my room here for the first time in months, so that's really nice. And we got some stuff to look forward to, definitely, obviously, with the draft coming up. And
what a week this coming up.
And this past year had a hell of a senior class, especially defensively for Michigan, or if you include Rashawn Gary, just upperclassmen in general. And obviously we got Endgame coming out. I'm going to be seeing it on Thursday. So we got some, you know, it's kind of slowing down a little bit as far as sports, but we still got some topics to cover.
Yeah. Mother Nature giveth and Mother Nature taketh away, because for as nice as it is outside, I have the house open up to, might hear some kids running around in the background. They're not mine. They're the neighbors. Ice cream truck was just down the street. That's all fine.
Did you get some?
No, man. I'm not much of an ice cream guy these days. Trying to make good.
You working that summer bod or what?
This week I'm running a 5K on Sunday after I spent all weekend sitting in the house doing draft stuff. I'm gonna run a 5K on Sunday. I don't know. It's just ice cream is good, but I don't know. I don't want to say I've moved on or grown up from it, because if you put a bowl in front of me, it's going to be gone. But I was just going to say, like, as nice as the weather is, and it is beautiful outside, I pulled the grill out earlier today. The pollen is killing me right now. Like, the allergies I'm dealing with are probably the worst it's ever been. Like, right before we recorded, I was just like laying on the couch in the fetal position, like trying to breathe, trying to muster up the energy to like.
I was going to say, you do sound like just a little like congested or stuffed up. That's the allergies.
I feel I'm defeated. Yes. Yes. That's a good way to put it. Stuffed up, congested. It's just like, have you ever seen the video? It might have been a Vine or some kind of Twitter video, but like, some dude in New Jersey, I think it was New Jersey, he took like a forklift and like ran it into a tree, and all the pollen just like flew off the tree.
Yes.
Like a giant cloud. Looked like the smoke monster from Lost. So that's what I'm going through. So if I sound a little down today, I'm just pushing through. It's a big week. Chris mentioned Endgame. We've got a Marvel Cinematic Universe draft coming up a little bit later on. We've got two game sevens in hockey on Tuesday night. Got obviously NBA playoffs going on, baseball in full swing. You name it. Kentucky Derby, all that good stuff next weekend, which is sort of, to me, always been like opening weekend for spring, because that's when you really start to see people kind of out and about and doing all that stuff. And then Game of Thrones on Sunday. It's going to be a pretty big one. It's like the Game 7 of the World Series of Thrones. So
I just want to get this disclaimer out there. So I'm a huge Thrones fan, but my girlfriend has been catching up. She wants to watch it with me, so I haven't seen either of the first two episodes of the new season. So no spoilers to me, please. I would appreciate that.
You won't get any spoilers. But man, she said 2 years to catch up, and she waited till now.
It wasn't even catching up. She just never watched it before, and then just like started out of the blue sort of thing. And then
I'm gonna walk on eggshells on that one. I don't want to use this pod to like shake the belt.
I will say that the Twitter feature for muted words is it is amazing. I'm probably gonna have to, because I probably won't even be able to go catch Endgame here this week. I still got to see Captain Marvel. I've really been struggling, been behind. I've been so busy.
We talked about this last week when you weren't here. I never did tweet out the list, but I think Chris and I decided you don't necessarily need to see Captain Marvel, especially because she's been saying in a little press tour, like, she filmed this before they filmed Captain Marvel, so it's not even like, it's really just backstory, it seems like. Yeah.
It's her origin story, right, Captain Marvel?
Yeah, it was one of those standard MCU, like, origin movies. It's good, but no spoilers. There's not really anything in it that you're like, whoa, I need to know this before I see Endgame. It was more of an appetizer to me.
Yeah. But that was really fun last year when Infinity War was coming back out. I went back and watched them all except for, like, the Hulk, I think, is the only one I missed. But it was such a nice journey. Like, I did that with the Star Wars movies when Episode 7 came out, and it was just fantastic. I love doing that stuff.
Well, that's another, like, Chris, in last week's show, we basically put together, like, the list of what you need. Like, if you're you know, like you said, your girlfriend's catching up on Thrones. If you're someone who's just like, okay, I don't have a whole lot of time, I want to go see Endgame, I want to be in on the hype, we gave, like, what, probably 6 or 7 movies that you need to watch, and maybe I will actually, like, tweet that out after this show or throw it in the description or something. But of all those movies, now I'm rewatching them right now too. I think early today I watched Doctor Strange and then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So I'm only like, I only got to watch a couple more before I see it Friday at, seeing it 8:15 in the morning on Friday, because I just won't be able to make it Thursday with the draft. So I'm excited. We'll get to Marvel stuff later on though, but it's an exciting week. Like, spring has sprung, my friends.
Chris, how hype are you for Endgame coming up this week? I know you've been doing, like, a lot of movie reviews and everything.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if this is the most excited I've ever been for a movie. Because I would say it's between this and Force Awakens. The only reason I slightly, just ever so slightly lean Force Awakens is because it was a longer wait. With this, you know, Infinity War, it feels like longer, but it only came out a year ago.
Yeah, it feels like Endgame kind of just got sprung on us. Like, when I saw the trailer, it was like right when Captain Marvel was out for the most part. And I was like, what in the world? Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the plan all along, to film it back to back. And in fact, I think originally they were going to call it Infinity War Part 2, which I'm glad they didn't. So yeah, no, I mean, I'm insanely excited. It's gonna be emotional. It's gonna be epic, and I can't wait to see where this, where they go on this journey. They're really marketing it as the end, and I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of finality to it. But I would say the better way to put it is end of an era as opposed to end of a franchise. They're not going to stop making Avengers movies.
Well, I got to ask you this though, and I don't know if you know if this is Infinity War spoilers. I don't know if that's a thing, but it's not really like
it's been a year. Like,
yeah, it's not an Infinity War anymore, is it? Because didn't the Infinity Stones, like, kind of when he snapped his fingers, they, like, the glove kind of busted, right? Am I misremembering that?
Well, we
the
don't
glove
know.
Did, but I don't know if the stones did.
Okay, I gotcha.
I think the gauntlet is, like, fused to his hand. I think that's going to wind up being, like, a plot point. So, it was, like, smoking. And
yeah,
stuff,
yeah, Nate. That's what. Yeah,
which I'm really like I said, I'm really glad they didn't split it up into, like, one movie into two movies, because then that movie probably just ends with the snap and then they cut to credits, like. I don't like that. Like, I like that every movie is going to be like, it's each little, its own little package. So,
yeah.
Are you guys like confused at all at the way that they released the movies? I know they've had a master plan since it all came out, but, like, Spider-Man Homecoming, he's like, that is going to take place before Infinity War, right? Because, like,
Homecoming or Far From Home?
Or Far From Home. Far From Home. Sorry.
From what I've heard, it takes place after.
Oh, it does. I thought it was that. Okay, because I thought the bus scene is him coming back like from the
that,
thing
I,
or whatever.
I would love to see that, but I don't think that's the plan. I think it's going to take place after.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to go full theory, like we know. This isn't a spoiler. Like, we know all of the snapped characters are going to come back. Like, that's not a spoiler at all.
They spoiled that in the opening trailer with Ant-Man.
It's not even that. It's like there's going to be a Black Panther 2. There's going to be a Doctor Strange 2. Like, there's been rumors of all these movies already. It's more about the journey and how it happens. I think it's very possible that it could be both a sequel and a prequel to Infinity War. I think they're going to be doing some manipulating of the timeline here.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I don't want to go too deep into that because we'll be going down a rabbit hole. But
this seems like a good time as any to let everyone know that while we got to get some draft talk here, we're going to have our own draft of characters in the MCU universe coming up. That's redundant, isn't it?
That sounds like ATM machine.
From the Department of Redundancy. My apologies, but.
It's all right. You're rusty. You haven't been here in a while.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It was a good vacay. All right. So we've got that coming up here, but I want to get some draft talk in here because could be two potential. Well, I don't want to say could be two potential first rounders. I think it's almost a guarantee Michigan's going to have two first rounders taken on Thursday night with Rashawn Gary and Devin Bush, and rightfully so. Sounds like I just saw that was tweeted out just now that Dan Patrick was talking with Mel Kiper, and Mel Kiper said today of Devin Bush, quote, "I think he's one of the best football players in the draft." So I also saw that Mel doesn't think he's going to fall past 11. So that could be two picks for Michigan in the top 11 coming up here on Thursday.
Yeah, I actually I love the draft. Full disclosure, probably obviously that's been if you guys follow me, you know that's what I've been doing like the last 3 or 4 months. It's been a deep dive, just trying to get ready for the weekend. So it's pretty much plug and play for me as far as the full-time job goes. But I have a strange feeling that they have an outside shot at 3 first-round picks. I think that, and we'll talk about Chase, I think Rashawn Gary and Devin Bush, those two are givens. I do think that there's a chance Gary falls, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Bush drafted higher. But I think that there's enough there with Winovich where someone maybe takes him like in those last few picks of the first round. To me, he's definitely probably a day 2 pick, but and we'll talk about each guy and where they stand here. But it's not one of those classes where Michigan's sending 11 or 12 guys into the draft like we've seen before. But I think what they are sending this year outside of Zach Gentry, I think are guys that may not make it to Saturday. I think that most of those guys will go pretty early on. The pre-draft process has been pretty good to a lot of them. So I'm excited for it though. I mean, the draft can be a drag, especially Thursday's fine. Friday is cool. Saturday's where it gets kind of draggy. Cause then you see guys start coming off the board that you've never even heard of that you can't possibly prepare for. And it's literally like 8 hours. It's just 8 hours of, you know, monkeys announcing draft picks or someone doing a draft pick from space. Like it gets a little ridiculous.
it has turned into like gimmicky, you know. I used to watch both days of the draft when it was Saturday, Sunday. Like I watched it all. It was amazing. I kind of don't like that they've gone this, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday sort of route. I understand why they did it, but I used to love that draft weekend. It has gotten a little bit gimmicky.
Yeah, they stretched it out for TV. Like I miss the Saturday Sunday part of it. Rather just kind of get it done all in one, you know, in 2 days as opposed to 3, especially on a weekend like this where, you know, Thursday night, you were talking about how you've got all the keywords for Thrones muted on Twitter. I have just about every MCU related term muted on Twitter right now because Thursday night people are going to be coming back from that and I'm going to be, you know, we talking Minnesota Vikings draft picks and things like that. So I have protected myself there. And that's why I wanted to go 8 a.m. the next day because I'll be working, I'll pass out, quick turnaround, can jump right back into it the next day. So I love the draft, though. I mean, especially when we watch a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of these names, we've like Greg Little, possible first round pick, you know, second round pick, whatever. Some of these five-star guys, it's fascinating to see, you know, a lot of these names we've heard since they've played in high school, and to see them go and you know, now it's a time where some of us or me or some people on staff have maybe done interviews in the past with kids as recruits, and now they're going to be in the NFL. It's cool to see that journey realized. And I know it's a little dry, but you know, this is better football to me than whatever the AAF was, the 5 or 6, 7 weeks it was around. You know, these are dreams realized. And, you know, I think that it's fascinating because no matter what any draft analyst tells you, they don't know anything. Like, this is all like every, it's like the 14 million possible futures. I keep going back to Marvel in this episode. Like, if someone ends up, so a guy could end up with, not to pile on the Lions, but you know, let's just say if Rashawn Gary was drafted by the Lions or he fell and was drafted by the Seahawks, it's a pretty good chance his career plays out differently. That's just an example between two teams. So it's fascinating to me to see where guys wind up and the fits more than anything, especially the quarterbacks. I think we've seen a lot of average to good quarterbacks benefit from you know, systems like Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, Jared Goff with the Rams. I don't think those guys are anything special like, you know, Andrew Luck or some of these other kids were coming out of college, but they may wind up having more successful careers because they've had the right team around them, the right coaching staff around them, play calling, all of that. So it really is fascinating to me. And you hate to take kind of a negative view where like, hey, you know, God, Dwayne Haskins goes and plays for the Giants, or he can sit and play behind, I don't know, just throwing it out there, like Aaron Rodgers. It's just, it's amazing to see the what ifs and all that are just fascinating to me.
Okay, well, I've been talking the least of you three, and the reason for that is I'm, like, I can't say I dislike it, but I'm just, I don't get super into the draft, to be honest. You know, like, I'll probably check my phone after I get out of Endgame and say, oh, hey, Rashawn Gary got drafted by this team. Oh, Winovich got drafted here. It bores me, to be honest. Now, I'm excited to see where these guys land. The last couple days or so, and Ant, you would know more about this than I would, it seems like Devin Bush's stock is, and even Winovich to a certain extent, but Devin Bush, their stocks have been rising a little bit. Whereas Gary's has been slightly falling. One of the strangest things to me in all of sports is the Wunderlich test. Just the fact that it's a thing. But the only thing that's weirder about the test itself is like people who suck at it. Like I've taken it and I got a pretty solid grade. Like a better grade than I got in most of my tenure going to actual school. Now, Rashawn Gary today apparently got a 9 out of 50. I don't know if that has to do with his stock dipping a little bit. My question, I guess, for both of you guys really is, what is it that's caused some concern? I mean, not a ton, but just a little bit of concern for Rashawn Gary. Is it his, I guess, lack of production in the 3 years he was at Michigan? Is that it? Yeah,
and that's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because I was going to
find a way to sneak this. Actually.
Yeah, I wanted to find a way to sneak this in too, because yes, is pretty much the only answer to that, because he was very good at the combine. His measurables are outstanding. Most people look to the, you know, lack of production on the field through his years, even though I retweeted a video today that really kind of, you know, how do you want to say it? Pretty much called bullshit on it, you know, for the most part, because Rashawn Gary was an effective player. You know, you can say what you want about his numbers, but his numbers don't really speak to his game. And there's a funny thing that's been going on that I've noticed. The same people that talk about Rashawn Gary and how he's not going to be a good NFL player, how he's going to be a bust, all because of his lack of, you know, college production, are the same people who happen to be super high on DK Metcalf because he was a physical freak at the NFL Combine, even though his college production was trash. I'm like, you can't have it both ways. You know, and in fact, college production's probably more telling for a receiver than it is for a defensive end in a certain scheme, especially because DK Metcalf was in a spread offense. Like, Ole Miss was designed to get guys like him the ball, and he still couldn't get the ball. So I've been noticing that the same people
The thing with DK, too, is that he's coming from an offense where, you know, I think his quarterback, Jordan Ta'amu, is going to get drafted. He's probably like a fifth or sixth round guy, but he was also in it. He had some injuries. He was in an offense with DeMarcus Lodge, who's maybe a second day guy. AJ Brown could be a first round pick at wide receiver. Dawson Knox is probably a second or third round pick at tight end. So that quells the questions about productivity a little bit for me, but I think your argument is dead on about lack of, you know, freaks and lack of production. Let's just talk with Sean Gary. I've thought a lot about this, and I'm not as high on him as a draft prospect as a lot of these teams allegedly seem to be. I did put a board together. It doesn't mean a whole lot because I'm not a professional scout or anything, but I have him at number 20 in this class. And the thing with me is that I don't understand why he's being listed as an edge rusher. To me, he is an end in a 3-4 or a 3-tech in a 4-3 defense. Like I've always, coming out of high school, I thought he was like an Ndamukong Suh type of player. When you look at this edge rusher class, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Montez Sweat, Brian Burns, all of these guys, he doesn't stack up there to me because he's not that speed rusher. He's not that guy that's going to come off the edge and get to the quarterback. I don't think his effort is being questioned. And I don't know if I question his effort. I'm just not sure if he's a big time player because in big games, like I can't even really remember if there was ever a game at Michigan where Rashawn Gary took over. And I know his role in the defense was, it was not to just get after the quarterback. He was a run anchoring defensive end. He was eating up blocks. He was, big reason why a guy like Chase Winovich was able to be so successful. But I think what's sort of telling about his impact at Michigan was that when he wasn't on the field, I don't think their defense really suffered all that much without him. And it's Chase Winovich on that defensive line was the tone setter for that team. Mind you, neither of them did anything in the Ohio State game, and that's something on their legacy they're going to have to live up to. But with Rashawn Gary, I think the Wonderlic score comes with these scores. I'm surprised these scores didn't leak earlier. Apparently, Kyler Murray didn't do very well on his either, which may be coinciding with what seems like his stock falling a little bit going into the draft, but I don't think Rashawn Gary is a stupid player. I actually think he's a very smart kid and a well-spoken kid. And I know there have been some people that question his. I don't question his love for football. I think I know he loves to play football. I know that he's a guy that is gonna, that wants to do well and do well for his teammates. But I don't know if that fire is there to be great because he was a monster at every level. I mean, as an eighth grader, he was a monster. But when he got to college, he never really rose to the cream of the crop. And he's a very good player. I don't understand the edge rush thing. Like, I would feel a lot more comfortable about him if we're talking about him as a defensive tackle. And maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I don't see it. He's a freak athletically. He has all the tools. He checks all the boxes. But I just don't see it as an edge rusher. And in this draft,
I think he's both players than him. Do you don't think he's both, Anthony? You don't think he's pretty interchangeable in that regard? Because I think he can be an effective pass rusher. I mean, I look at some of his like measurables, and with mock draftable, his highest comparison is actually Bradley Chubb. I think that he can be a very good D tackle, but I also think given free reign, like given the
he's definitely versatile. I'm not saying you pigeonhole him into defensive tackle.
No, I'm just saying I think he can be an effective pass rusher at the next level.
Like, I think he can too. I don't think that's his best fit, but I think he can. And it's up to a team to find that best fit. Like we just talked about fits with quarterbacks and all that. So I know his legacy at Michigan is always going to, people are always going to call him overrated because the second he stepped on campus, people expected him to be, you know, a 15 or 16 sack guy. Maybe that's our fault for overhyping him, but you can't help but feel like, and Jabril was the same way. You can't help but feel like there was something left. Like,
yeah,
it just left a little bit to be desired. I don't understand the venom that he gets, but I do understand and empathize with feeling like more could have been done in his college career.
Well, let me ask this, because I think like this doesn't make sense to me. If we're looking at, you know, guys that produced on the field, why is David Long not projected to be a first round pick? Or I think I saw like a round three pick. Like, David Long was incredible statistically in college, and he's got pretty good measurables. Like, why is a guy like that slipping into possibly day two?
You know what's weird about that is that it's because no one threw the ball at him a whole lot. It's like, I don't know if they're like, people don't know if he's a guy that is, and I don't have his stats up in front of me. I should probably pull it up, but you know, teams love these ball hawking playmaking cornerbacks, and he's not exactly that, but I think he's really, really solid. He's not as good as Jordan Lewis, but people overthought that with Jordan Lewis too. And I thought Jordan Lewis has played pretty well his first 2 years with the Cowboys. I don't know. It is strange. Like, you see players with, it seems like more often than not, more finished products if they're not a star. Like, TJ Hockenson is a finished product. Jonah Williams is a finished product. Those two guys should be like Pro Bowl type guys right away. But it seems like guys that are tick below that, you don't start seeing them come off the board to the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round, because the quote unquote upside isn't there. You see all these guys with the quote tools get drafted ahead of them. It's a little weird in that regard. I think whoever drafts David Long is going to get a pretty good player. Now, at times at Michigan, he was forgotten about because he took away half the field. No one ever threw his way. We talked about guys getting beat in coverage. It was Brandon Watson. It was LeVert Hill. You never heard David Long. And I think that maybe it's because part of it might have to do with the fact that when they went up and played against Ohio State, guys like Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, guys, those two probably second or third round guys at wide receiver kind of blew the doors off of everyone. So maybe that's a little bit of it too. But, you know, when you talk about what he brings to the table, I mean, I think you can plug him into the slot nickel dime packages, and he's going to be really good right away.
I'm go ahead, Chris.
Sorry. Yeah. I just want to chime in on this real quick now, because you guys have talked about it way more articulately and more knowledgeably than I will. But it keeps sticking in the back of my head, the lack of production criticism for Rashawn Gary. And it wouldn't if it wasn't consistent, or if it was consistent. I think of two players, both on the defensive line, who were similar. Jadeveon Clowney hit Vincent Smith, had a huge sophomore season, and then took the next season off.
Yep.
And got the number one pick. And I remember there were a few people who questioned his effort, but for the most part, it didn't bother him. Guy got drafted number one overall. And the other guy is another person who's in this draft. Nick Bosa played two games, got injured, and then quit. And I don't blame him for that, right? You know, he's going to be high in the draft, but I think for the criticism to fall on Rashawn Gary, who, yeah, I think probably should have done more statistically in his time with Michigan, for that criticism to be heaped on him and not on other players, whether it be current or in past drafts, I think is silly.
Yeah, I agree with that. Nick Bosa's I'm still skeptical on if Kyler Murray will go number one or not, but if he doesn't, Nick Bosa is going to be the number one pick. And I feel like I haven't seen that guy play football in 2 years. And it's where is lack of production? Where is, you know, questions about love for the game? You don't hear that with guys like him. For whatever reason, you're hearing that a little bit more with Rashawn Gary. I don't know, man. It's interesting because I could see Rashawn Gary going anywhere. I could see him going top five, but then I could see him also slipping, you know, to the back half of the first round. Like, it's going to be fascinating. And the thing about this draft too, you know, at the top, you know, in terms of defensive linemen or pass rushers, defensive tackles, he's not better than Nick Bosa, just as a player, as a prospect. He's just not better than Quinnen Williams. Probably not better than Josh Allen. I don't think he's better than Montez Sweat, but now there's the heart. You know, we saw what the heart issue thing did with Maurice Hurst. That guy's probably going to fall quite a bit if precedent, you know, kind of follows up what we've seen in the past. But Ed Oliver, all those guys are in the top five. Brian Burns. So, you know, that top six players on the defensive line or pass rushers, I don't think Rashawn is better as a pro prospect than any of them are. But like I said, if he can go somewhere, like, I'm just trying to think I don't think Minnesota would take him because they need offensive linemen, like, in the worst way. They need probably two of them in this draft. But if you could go somewhere, if Rashawn Gary could go somewhere and be in a rotation with, you know, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, Linval Joseph, guys like that, and kind of rotate and not have to play right away, and then play for a red ass like Mike Zimmer, who just poops defensive talent. Like, he's got to go somewhere with someone that's gonna challenge him. Not saying that he wasn't challenged at Michigan, but I think we talk about fits and who will succeed where. You know, I kind of hope he slides for his career's sake. I kind of hope he slides a little bit because I don't want to go see. I don't want Rashawn Gary to go play for the Buffalo Bills and then 5 years from now he's out of football. You know, I'd like to see him go play for, you know, the Vikings, the Packers, the Steelers, you know, you name it, the Seahawks. So it's complicated with him.
Well, you're a Lions fan, Anthony. You know, I know you're right for the Vikings, but you are a Lions fan. Would you like to see him in Detroit?
I don't think he's a fit with them now. I wouldn't hate it, but after they signed Trey Flowers, that Trey Flowers role is kind of what I would see him doing at the next level. And they also they've got Damon Harris in the middle. They have Deshaun Hand, who, mind you, he was a fourth round pick last year, but they think pretty highly of that guy. They traded a third round pick to move up into the fourth round to get him. So I kind of feel like I feel like they're more like if Ed Oliver was to slip to them, I could see that happening. If Quinnen Williams somehow slid to them. I don't think Rashawn Gary is really a fit for them. I don't know. It's their situation is fascinating because the Lions pick, you could make the argument that anything they take there is justified because I don't think they have gaping holes everywhere, but they don't really have difference makers. Really, I mean, outside of Darius Slay, obviously Trey Flowers now, but God, even if, can you imagine if they went quarterback? What would happen in this area, in this town? I don't know. What the Lions do to me when I look at this draft could kind of set, you know how a player gets drafted and then there's a run on a certain position. Let's say they take Jonah Williams and then like the next four or five picks are offensive linemen. Then you're a team like Minnesota. You're like, Jesus, we need offensive linemen and none of them are left. So, the Lions could, I'm always fascinated by them and the cosmic suck that surrounds them. But God, it's wide open for them to do some interesting things. Rashawn Gary for the Lions though, I don't think so. I think actually I was kind of dogging the Buffalo Bills there. I would hate that. Sean McDermott's a pretty good defensive mind, a good head coach. No, I think there are some teams that are you don't want to see him go to, you know, God, Tampa Bay, or God forbid John Gruden gets his hands on him. That's I don't talk about a team that is fascinating. They sent all their scouts home over the weekend. So they're something's afoot there. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyler Murray ends up in Oakland. That's a hot take.
Oh God. Oh, boy. No.
That would be awful. That's
quite the draft take, though. Can be awful.
That's true. All right. Well, speaking of, you ready to draft?
Do we have any final thoughts on Michigan, guys? What do we think about Chase Winovich?
I mean,
let me pose this question to you. You two are both NFL GMs. You have to take one guy that's going to start on your defensive line next year, next 5 years. Are you taking Gary? Or are you taking Winovich? Oh, the guy who
Gary
has the high motor.
Gary all day.
Bunch of pale guy.
Gary all day.
Yeah, same here.
Not even close. I think, not even close.
I think Winovich, okay, this is strange. I think Gary has a higher percentage chance of being a bust, but also a much, much higher percent chance of being a superstar.
Yeah.
So for that reason, well, and I'd go with him.
Winovich is the safe pick. I would have no qualms taking him. I think he's a safe pick. I think he's one of those safe picks, probably somewhere in the second round.
But I mean, here's my thing, though. In those games that Rashawn Gary was out, like, Chase Winovich put up what Rashawn Gary's numbers are when he plays. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, it's hey, these are the questions teams are going to ask themselves. And thank God I'm not running them, because my job and my ass isn't on the line here. I'm just paid to talk about it. But my one final thought is Zach Gentry made a terrible mistake coming out of this draft.
Is he going to get picked?
Yeah.
Is he going to get picked?
I don't. He might somewhere on day three, like late in day three, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get drafted at all. Like, he doesn't. He's not athletic. Or athletic in terms of what the NFL deems athletic. Doesn't have good hands. Doesn't block. Like, he's just kind of there. I haven't seen really any grades on him that are earlier than the sixth round or so. I don't see it with him. And maybe he may have been a guy that may have just fell out of favor if he would have come back. Because talk about speed and space. He doesn't exactly have a whole lot of that. It's a mistake, but on the other hand, it may not have been. I'm never going to dog a guy for going to make money. I won't dog any of these guys. I think that was a mistake. And my other hot take is I think that Devin Bush will be drafted higher than Rashawn Gary is.
So I want to point this out, too, just real quick, back to your point. So Rashawn Gary missed the Maryland, Wisconsin, Michigan State games, right? And Chase Winovich had a good year. He had five total sacks. He had 15 and a half tackles for losses and 59 total tackles. In the three games Rashawn Gary missed, Maryland, he had two tackles. Wisconsin, he had four tackles. In Michigan State, he had four tackles, half a tackle for a loss and zero sacks in those three games. So by far, statistically, his three worst performances of the year when Rashawn Gary was out. That's why when people talk about that, you know, the production, if Chase Winovich played where Rashawn did, Rashawn was on Chase Winovich's side, I think Rashawn's numbers would look very, very good.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see what happens. Like we talked about, those guys that are going to go early are the ones with the moldable tools, and he's got as much of the tools as anyone in this class, so I'm fascinated by him. I hope he can go somewhere where they're able to unlock that. And next week's show, I'm excited to talk about where these guys end up and how they'll fit.
All right, we ready to draft?
I think so.
All right, let's do it. So we're doing our MCU draft, our Marvel Cinematic Universe draft, and we're filling out basketball teams. We got five plus a six man coming off the bench. So we're going to go snake order. Anthony, randomize the orders. What do we got, Anthony?
All right, so I typed in our names in the order in which we spoke today or on the show. So Luke, you always intro us.
Yep.
I usually come in second. Chris comes in third. So I typed in our names in that order, and I'm pressing randomize right now. Chris has the first pick. I will have the second pick, and Luke, you'll have the third pick.
All right. So it literally just went reverse order. I respect that.
Pretty much. Hey, there's not a whole lot of variables here. Only so many things that can happen.
All righty. So let's start it off. Chris,
All right, I'm going. This is my Zion Williamson here. Tall, could play anywhere between the 2 and the 4. Really strong. Give me Thor with the first pick.
Ooh, okay. All right, he is strong. He's a big boy. He can really stretch the floor, I feel like. I like that. Could be almost like a stretch four out there for you.
Okay, yeah. The strongest Avenger, as he put himself in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, a lot of confidence. Self-proclaimed strongest
Avenger. All right, yeah. Anthony, you're up.
Well, I think in order to build a championship team, you not only have to have the athleticism, the skills, the star power, but you have to have heart as well. And you have just an unrelenting desire to be great, and you will not be denied and told no. So my pick's going to be Captain America.
He's a leader out there. I like that.
Floor general.
All right, so I get two picks, and I'm going to start. I think the most important thing, and this has nothing to do with me being a point guard, but I think you have to have a good point guard to be a good team. And I think maybe the best point guard out there, I got to go with Spider-Man, because his handles and athleticism off the charts. I'm a little worried about his recklessness, but I'm going Spider-Man. And then I've got to shore up my defense. I need a rim protector, and I got to go with the guy that can literally extend his limbs as much as he wants. I'm going with Groot as my rim protector out there.
Good pick.
Wow.
Yes, I got to go with Groot as my rim protector.
There's going to be surprises in this draft on Thursday, and that I don't want to say that was a surprise, but I didn't expect Groot to go this early. But good call. Good call.
All righty, back to Anthony.
Well, man. This one's tough, because I'm going to talk my way through this here. You've got a guy who's – there's a lot of power on your guys' team so far. Thor is as powerful as it gets. Groot can pretty much, like I said, good luck driving the paint on him. But sometimes you need a bully in the middle and someone who's going to – when you piss him off, he's going to fight back. So in order to offset your guys' size, I'm going to go with the Incredible Hulk.
It's a good one. It's a very, very good one, because I could definitely see the Hulk kind of knocking down Groot, but I like it. I am concerned about Hulk's coachability, though.
Well, we'll see about that. I think that he's got someone noble to look forward to, or to look up to. Well, he's not looking up to him, because he's like 15 feet tall, but Captain America is the moral compass, and he'll keep, just remember from the Avengers when he goes Hulk and then smash. Hulk listened to him. So I think I got the, I was about to say something else, but it might give away one of my future picks if it happens. So I'll just leave it.
That's fair. All right, Chris.
I need some speed. I'm going to go. I already got Thor down low. Give me Black Panther with my next
great pick. I bet he could shoot too. Just seems like the kind of guy that can shoot.
Yeah,
absolutely. But you get two in a row.
Yes. This one's kind of tough. I'm going to say, I'm going to go with one that I think is a good compliment with Thor and is underrated, calm under pressure, sees the floor well. I'm going to go with Vision.
Ooh, yes. Wow. Yep. I was thinking of Vision to kind of offset the Hulk. So I like it. I like it. All right, back to Anthony.
Well, what you need in any, if we're putting basketball teams together, you need, the NBA is a perimeter game now. You got to be able to hit shots from anywhere. And I'm going to go with the most accurate shot there is. Played 18 and he shot 18. I'm going to go with Hawkeye. Okay.
All right, is it?
Yeah, I was hoping he would fall, and I could pick him up with a six man. But yeah,
I wasn't 100% sure. How useful he is. He kind of seems just like a regular ass dude without his bow. But I can respect it.
It's funny that
if
made
he played
him...
18. If he played 18 and shot 18, he didn't do it with his bow. So
that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. I guess I'm not as good as the comic book lore as you guys.
I'm not really a Hawkeye stan either. I actually I don't really understand the fascination with him, but from a pure strategic standpoint, I just need someone who can hit from the outside because I have a feeling that my center is probably more likely to like rip your throat out than he is like to grab a basketball. So
yeah,
I just need someone to hit a big shot.
I'm gonna go. All right, so I need someone down low because I don't think Groot can really guard the Hulk. I think he's kind of like the skinny five rim protector sort of guy. I need someone that can. You know, defend Hulk in the post, maybe even take Hulk in the post. And I'm going with the guy that whooped his ass in Infinity War. I'm going Thanos with my pick there.
Ooh, our first villain.
Yes.
Yeah. Are we allowing this?
Oh, it was I thought it was just anyone in the MCU universe or MCU.
We never really said.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah.
My sixth man could be, you know, Dr. Selvig running around Stonehenge naked. Like that would qualify.
And then I've got to go. I need some shooting. Spider-Man, I think he's probably a good shooter, but he's really good at getting to the rim. But I need a guy that can really play good two guard. And I think the guy with the arm that can do it best. I'm going with Bucky. Bucky's got to be my two guard.
Winter Soldier.
Yep.
I dig it.
All right, Anthony, back to you.
Oh, I can't believe he's still on the board. But I think what I need now is someone who is explosive, getting to the rim, mm-hmm. getting the job done at both ends of the floor. I can't believe he's still here. Iron Man. Like that's, yeah. I know him, and a little bit of a chance that him and Cap could be at odds. It might be a Kobe Shaq situation at some point. My team might implode. Who knows? But, hey, I need it. I'll take it. I got the fan favorite.
All right.
That's all that matters.
Exactly. All right. I need a point guard. I'm going to go with a guy who can be undersized, but is very quick, very strong. Give me Ant-Man at the mm-hmm. point.
Very. Mm-hmm. That was probably going to be my point guard pick if one of you had taken Spider-Man, so I like the pick. What do you got coming back at us?
Oh, let's see. Yeah, I'm going to go with somebody who can make a lot of people miss. Obviously, it's not football, but this is someone that I'm sure can get to the rim, probably has great handles. I'm going to go with Doctor Strange.
That's what I was thinking of him because I feel like he's got the ability to throw people like where he wants them. Like if someone's not in good position, he'll just like move them to a different part of the court. So I kind of like that pick.
Yeah, he could.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good pick. This is difficult now because we're getting to the point where someone's going to get forgotten here because there's like 35 people that are realistically could be selected in this entire thing. There's just so many characters. Gosh, I'm going to start pandering here, I think. And I'm going to make this pick because I think it's going to piss off Chris. I'm going to go with Captain Marvel just because.
It could be a team chemistry issue.
Hey, we'll see. I like she's got the tools. She's a five tool player.
Yeah, for sure.
So I need a slasher. I feel like someone that can, you know, beat someone on the perimeter, someone who's guarding them closer, get to the rim, you know, slash and get a good pass from Spider-Man. And I gotta go with someone who's extremely quick. I gotta go Quicksilver coming up here as my wow, slasher. Wow.
It's an interesting one. I didn't think we'd get a Quicksilver. I often forget he exists.
Yeah. that's totally fair because he probably shouldn't. But anyways, so I got to go coming off the bench, right? And I got to get a good team guy, a good character guy. And from what I could tell in the movies, probably the only guy that, well, I don't know actually if he ever played sports because he was pretty young when he was taken. But I'm going to go Star-Lord because he seems like he'd be a good character guy off the bench. And probably he just looks like someone that's kind of an athlete. I'm going Star-Lord as my sixth man coming off the bench.
I worry about that pick. I feel like Star-Lord could be like the J.R. Smith.
Hit or miss, man. He's streaky. I know that. He is streaky.
Well, he could. I just remember the NBA Finals game where J.R. Smith like dribbles out the ball and forgot how much time is left.
Forgot the score.
Yeah, like that is Star-Lord. They almost had Thanos beaten. And
yeah.
Star-Lord screwed
yeah.
up.
But he's streaky. He can do a lot of good.
That's fine. That is J.R. Smith. Yeah. You just described J.R. Smith. This last one's difficult. Actually, I thought about going Star-Lord. So now I'm kind of thinking on the fly here. You know, I'm kind of feeling the whole girl power thing right now. Give me the Wasp.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I definitely you were going Black Widow there.
I thought about it, and you know what? I should have. Can I change my pick? No, I'm not going
to. Yeah, sure.
Because I was going to say, we talked about how I'm going to change my pick. It'll be Black Widow.
She could be a defensive demon out there, man. She'll eat you up.
Well, that, and you know, she is the calming presence with Hulk on the roster. It's like, hey, big guy, sun's getting good real point. Low. So
yeah, you kind of need that actually. Yeah, that takes away his coachability concerns.
Yep, there we go.
For my last pick, I'm going to go with one that I think gets overlooked, but is probably in the top five strongest characters in the MCU. Give me Scarlet Witch.
Okay. Wanda. All right.
I'm going to throw another wrinkle into this. One final pick for the rest of us. You have to pick a non-superpowered or non... I don't know if superpowered is the right word for it, but basically... We'll just call it a civilian to be your head coach.
Deal.
So we could start that with Chris.
All right.
Are we starting with me?
You know what? We'll go backwards. Luke, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I have to go with Eric Selvig for that one because he is probably the smartest in there. I was thinking Nick Fury, but I'm definitely going Eric Selvig because he'll come up with like some algorithm or theorem of where guys need to be, the exact arc you need to put on shots to maximize effectiveness. I'm definitely going Professor Eric Selvig.
Might not wear pants though. That could be.
You know what? Pants optional. Pants optional. With the way that the trend is going back to the short shorts, screw it. Pants optional.
Okay. Well, Chris, why don't you go ahead next? We'll throw another wrench in there.
I mean, I feel like I have to go Nick Fury here. I mean, he's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's brought all these characters together. I think he'd be a perfect fit. So, give me Fury.
Okay. I should have gone because that's who I would have picked. This is difficult. I need a coach for this team. So I've got Captain America, Hulk, Hawkeye, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Black Widow. You know what? He can't play because he's paralyzed, but I like what he brings to the table, and I think he's a voice of reason. Give me Rhodey and his robot legs.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So there we go.
I thought you should have, you know, I figured since him and Captain America get along so well, I thought maybe you'd go with the defense secretary, but or Secretary of Defense there.
Oh, General Ross? Nah, that dude sucks.
No, he really does. All right, so that was a good list, man. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So we'll recap it real quick. Chris took Thor, Black Panther, Vision, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch coming off the bench, Nick Fury's his head coach. I went with Captain America, Hulk, Hawkeye, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Black Widow off the bench. Rhodey is my coach. And Luke went with Spider-Man, Groot, Thanos, the only villain on this list. Interesting. Winter Soldier, Quicksilver, Star-Lord off the bench, and Dr. Selvig, the pantsless leader.
I guess as the psychological experiment goes, you can kind of just pencil me in as the guy who will do anything to win, apparently, even going over to the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, as far as we know, like, Endgame hasn't come out. Like, Thanos won. Like, he's the only one that's ever beaten any of these people. So he may that's just be like the... Is he the Jordan of the MCU?
Right. Yeah.
Just dunking on everyone. Because
all the other villains pretty much got their ass kicked. So, hey.
Yeah. Most of them die like unceremoniously and end up being pretty forgettable. Yeah. But they've been on a heater lately with those villains, especially Thanos. But as far as we know, we haven't seen Endgame yet. Thanos is undefeated.
I'm sure we're gonna throw this to a Twitter vote. Let everyone vote on who had the best teams.
Yeah, we will. You guys might have to let me know positions afterwards, but I'll make something up.
Yeah,
we'll figure.
I got all my positions if you need them.
Okay. Wow, where do we go from here?
I think
we're not usually.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot to bring to the table this
week.
No,
I think that'll pretty much do it. I say we wrap it up there because that was a fun segment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's cool. do it.
Take us home.
All right. Chris, you know the routine. Let us know where we can find you on social media.
Well, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Castellani2014. That's at CastellaniI2014. There you'll find the link to my There you'll find the link to my YouTube page as well. If you want to see me on Instagram, or correction, if you want to see me on Snapchat, it's the same as my Twitter handle. If you do want to see me on Instagram as well, you can follow me there. ChrisCastle95, that's ChrisCastle95. Give me a follow on all those platforms, and thanks a lot.
All right, Anthony.
Well, you can find me, if you're actually looking for me, because people might not see me this weekend, I will be in my house covering the NFL draft. So if you're actually looking for me, you're worried for about like not hearing from me, that's where I actually will be. But on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Anthony T. Broom. Follow our website at Maze and Brews, Twitter account at Brewcast Show. We're available everywhere podcasts are. If there's somewhere we're not available that, well, you might not know, but if there's somewhere that we're not available that you'd like us to be, we could certainly look into that. But yeah, anywhere you get your podcast, Maze and Brew podcast. Like I said, we probably do a show next week, and then it's probably going to be a couple weeks off coming up for us. We're talking about it. Just recharge the batteries as you guys need to as well. But yeah, that's what's in the hopper for us, and excited for the draft, excited for Endgame, excited for pretty much this whole week. It's going to be a good week if the tree pollen can subside.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Follow the Brewcast Show page at Brewcast Show. Pretty easy to remind yourself. Facebook as well, the Maze and Brew. Facebook's always going. And don't forget to check out MazeandBrew.com. We got a bunch of hardworking individuals always putting up some good content for you, so go check out MazeandBrew.com. Review our podcast. Leave a review. Leave a hopefully 5-star rating. But if you don't like the show, leave a 1-star rating. Just give us a rating out there. Give us some feedback on the show. We surely appreciate it. And we will be back. Can't wait to recap the draft with you next week. So for my co-host Anthony Brewmate, Chris Castellani, I'm Luke Ghiardi. We'll see you next week on Brewcast.